Hello and welcome to the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. Today's date is Tuesday, December 26, 2023. The last days of 2023 are upon us. And welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Yeah, guys, so I thought I'd just put together a little quick post-Christmas improv, jazz improv, and, just hope everyone had a good Christmas with their families and loved ones. And, you know, I had a quiet, relaxed Christmas, nothing fancy, nothing important, but I spent it with the people who were important to me. And a lot going on in this world right now. And of course, as the genocide or the ethnic cleansing continues in Gaza, I do feel obligated to mention this. I want to keep this show fairly light because we all need a break from the insanity, the weirdness, the bad things we all know are going on in this world. But, you know, there are a lot of positive things happening right now that I think is important. And one of them is this fundamental, like, recalibration of people's perception of Israel and Gaza and all this stuff. I mean, this is a recalibration that I have never seen before in my lifetime. And I've been studying this stuff since, you know, the late 80s, 89, 88, somewhere around there. And what I find really interesting is that Israel has forever lost the so-called moral high ground here. Not that they ever really had it, but that's gone forever in the eyes of so many. And the Holocaust really has reached its expiration date, you know, because the younger generation really does not care about the Holocaust in America. You know, even as we sit in Europe, we sit upon laws that essentially throw people in jail for questioning the Holocaust. In America, young people really don't care. And, you know, the younger generation has plenty of things to work out and to figure out on their own, but at least they've got that one. They don't care. And that's no longer going to serve as a get-out-of-jail card for everything that the Jews do that is awful and terrible and destructive. It's no longer going to work. That is over forever. And there's no bringing it back. And, you know, this golem of wokeness that was created by Jewish thinking has really turned against them. It's like an out-of-control golem that's turned on its master, and I don't think there's any changing that. It's not going to stop. And, you know, the Jews, the Israeli Jews, can thank themselves for that, frankly. Most normal people don't want to see children bombed and killed. It's pretty simple stuff, really. And, you know, I just learned a few days ago that in Gaza, there was a mother and daughter actually killed by Israeli snipers in a Catholic church. There's like, I believe, 18 people being held up in there. They can't leave because there's Israeli snipers outside waiting to shoot them. And apparently these two women, a mother and daughter, Americans, by the way, wanted to use the bathroom and were promptly both shot and killed by our greatest ally. I'm sure they were a terrorist threat there. It's really shocking. And of course, this isn't getting much press coverage, but I did learn about this on one of the far left channels that I monitor. So I found that to be interesting. And of course, you know, the third oldest Catholic church, or actually the third oldest church in Christianity, was blown up. Not completely destroyed, but severely damaged. And of course, 18 people were killed. 18 Christians were killed. So I'm just amazed at the lack of caring or the lack of concern of American Christians about the fact that a lot of actual Christians are being killed over there. All these Christian Zionists don't seem to care because really, let's face it, they're mentally ill. They are really led down the primrose path here when it comes to Israel and the Holy Land. But, you know, going back to Christmas, it is a unique time of year. And in some ways, Christmas irritates me. You know, I can't stand, to be honest, the Christmas music, the same Christmas music every year, the same mind-numbing, soul-sucking Christmas music every year. It does kind of reek of mind control, to be honest. You know, I'm sure other people have noticed that. It really depends. You know, some people are religious, some aren't. I'm not the type. I don't want to bash Christianity in any way, because everyone has to make their own, you know, spiritual decisions and perceptions. But of course, if you're religious, this marks the birth of Christ. Of course, it's not the correct date. Never mind that. But it also marks the birth of the S-U-N. December 25th is the first day that the sun starts to rise up in the horizon beyond what it used to. The previous days, of course, the solstice on the December 22nd, 21st, 22nd. Then the sun kind of stays at this low point for 3 days. Then on the 25th, it's the rebirth of the sun, the rebirth of light and kind of the life-giving force of the world. The sun is that. There's no question. Doesn't mean you have to worship the sun, but for ancient people, that's very important. And, you know, we're kind of disconnected from nature more than we should be. And it's important to mark these times when, you know, it's the coming of winter and it's the days start to get longer as well. These are significant, especially if you're growing crops and you know how long it is until spring at that point. Of course, we're all disconnected from that in our modern world and our big cities, disconnected from the beauty and the power of nature. But either way, if you're religious or not, it's an important time. It really is. And, you know, one of my pet peeves, one thing I can't stand during the Christmas holidays, it's when people say to me, "Happy Holidays." I can't stand that. I'm sure many of you out there feel the same way. Because it's like, what, you don't have the guts to say Merry Christmas? You're afraid of, offending somebody by saying Merry Christmas? And I always correct people. I say, happy holidays. I'm like, oh, yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And I thought of something. I didn't think of it in time, but I'll use it for next year. If someone says, happy holidays, I'm going to say to them, well, what holiday are we celebrating here? Oh, Christmas, right? So therefore, Merry Christmas. Okay, there we got that settled. Because we're not celebrating Kwanzaa or Hanukkah. Let's be honest here, we're not. And no one has ever dared say to me, Happy Hanukkah. That's never happened to me in my life. And if it happened this year, I was ready. I had some serious ammunition ready if someone dared say that to me, but it's never happened for some reason. That's for the best, I think. Yeah, it's for the best. And I'll tell you what, you know, these rallies against Israel are growing all over the country. And in Southern California, San Diego, and L.A., some big events have happened. And I've noticed just around town, too, I've seen like a couple of Stop the Genocide posters that people put up in front of their house or in front of their business. So this isn't going away. This is only going to keep growing. And it's really an amazing time to be alive in a way. It really is. So I do see a lot of optimism, a lot of, you know, bright light shining from there. I really do. I think the tide really is turning. And for the first time in my life, we are, you know, winning the information war. Because when I got involved in this in the late 80s, I was crazy. You know, nobody believed much of what I was saying. And I really don't get that anymore at all. And I think it's important for everyone, you know, that listens to these kind of shows. Don't be afraid to go out and just tell people what you think, but learn to find ways to reach people. Don't just, you know, come across like a know-it-all or, you know, talking down to people. Try to reach people on the level that they can understand what you're saying. Try to be an effective communicator to get the message out there because, you know, it's like we've got a lot of people that know a lot of stuff more than ever. I mean, for the first time in known human history, you can just go on the internet and learn the entire history of Israel. The whole bloody history of it. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to do a show on that pretty soon. Just laying out the timeline and some of the major events that happened during the so-called founding of Israel, which is really nothing more than a bloodbath and an operation of brute force, intimidation, and terrorism. It's as simple as that. You know, the air gun was a terrorist organization. You know, Rahm Emanuel's father was part of it. And of course, you know, the generation, their offspring, benefited greatly from their terrorism. And this is all being exposed. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to do a show on that. Hopefully I've got some good guests coming on here in the next couple of weeks. Because I want to keep working on this primary water thing. It's a big deal because it's a whole paradigm shifter from this idea that we live in scarcity. There isn't very much water. We're in a drought. Be careful. Don't use very much water. Of course, these ideas benefit our controllers. So, in the next few weeks, I'll be doing a show on, you know, I'm going to put together a timeline here. Just lay the whole thing out. Because it really is brutal. Very, very brutal. And I've got some great source documents, stuff that I've been collecting over the years. You know, and this Gaza thing is important on so many different levels. It really does go beyond what's just happening there. As horrible as it is to see all these, you know, civilians killed, children killed, people's lives destroyed. It's horrific. It truly is. But it does go beyond just Gaza because it really is a gateway for your average normie to go, hey, you know, gosh, if the Israeli Jews are capable of this, who are these people? You know, I mean, what's going on here? And it really does open the door to so much other understanding about Jewish power, the inordinate influence that these people have over our lives and our society, and sort of the malintent that exists within these people's inherent belief system. It really is there. There's an inherent mal creation, a anti-creation aspect to it all that is, you could say, anti-Christ, anti-God. There's no question about it. And even if you don't look at it in a religious context, what they're doing is bad news, and this really does open the door for so many new discussions once you get past this idea of like, hey, maybe the Jews aren't so special after all. What are they doing here? So I think that's another reason why this is so important. It's opening doors for us to have further conversations, and then you combine that with the fact that the Holocaust has really lost its expiration date. The expiration date is over. You combine those two factors, we're sitting upon a new paradigm here. So that's very interesting. So, you know, and we're sitting upon a new year. 2024 is upon us in just a few short days. And 2024 really does sound like the date for a, you know, a science fiction movie or a, you know, a post-apocalyptic zombie movie or something like that. But, you know, honestly, I think, contrary to what many people say, I think 2024 is going to be a relatively calm year, believe it or not. Not that there's not a lot of, you know, shit that's about to hit the fan. I think that is certainly coming, and there's no stopping that. But the reason I think 2024 will be relatively calm is they want to keep the Democrats in power. They want to keep the current regime in power, whether or not, you know, Groper Joe is the effigy, the front man for it or not. And I do think there's a good chance that he will be replaced in a last minute switcheroo with Gavin Newsom. I think that's very possible. Because I just found it very odd that, you know, they had this, you know, nationally televised debate with Gavin Newsom and Ron DeSantis, with Sean Hannity being the moderator. I found that very odd, given that, you know, Gavin Newsom supposedly isn't even running for president. Yet, despite that fact, he goes and has a private meeting with President Xi before Z comes to America to meet with Groper Joe Biden. And when he comes to America, where does he go? He goes to San Francisco and makes Groper Joe fly across the country to meet him at a conference where Z was actually working on recruiting American companies to China. So certainly a break of protocol there, because usually, you know, world leaders go to the White House to have their little ceremony and press conference and their little photo op. That didn't happen. And these people are all about ritual. So if they break ritual, there's something to it. It's not by chance. So yeah, that was all very strange. But I do think 2024 is going to be a relatively calm year. I think a lot of people are saying the exact opposite. This is the year the economy crashes. The stock market crashes. We enter into a world war. You're going to hear a lot of talk like that in the so-called alternative media. A lot of fear-mongering and clickbaiting. But because they want to keep, you know, the current regime in power, regardless of the figurehead, I believe they're going to try to keep this year to be relatively calm. And if you monitor the, you know, the mainstream media on radio in television and other things, there's a lot of talk about how great the economy is. The economy is wonderful. Inflation is down. Job growth is up. Back to you, Lester. You know, and there's a lot of rosy good news on the mainstream media about the economy and the world. You know, there's some talk about trying to make this war in Israel a regional conflict. I don't think that's going to happen. Not yet. I don't think we're there yet. And because Groper Joe is not a wartime president, they need to bring in a new guy to be the wartime president. And it ain't Groper Joe, that's for sure. It ain't him. He can't do it. So if you just monitor the media, they're giving us every indication that they want the current regime in power, because if they want to overthrow the regime, they, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, unrest in the streets and the economy's not doing good. Recession is looming, inevitable. Yeah, you'd hear talk like that, but instead we're hearing the exact opposite. So I think that's an indication of what the controllers, you know, the Jewish cabal, what they plan on doing, at least in the short run. But I do think 2025 is going to be an all bets are off kind of year, guys. And I think we should all get ready for that, because there's so many reasons why they can't keep this thing going too much longer. You know, they're running out of duct tape and bubble gum, let's say, to keep this thing patched together. And of course, in just a few months, in early next year, we will hit the $1 trillion mark in interest-only payments on the so-called debt, the odious debt, the phony debt, the non-existent debt that America has gotten into. It's over $30 trillion, as you guys know. But the interest-only payments are reaching $1 trillion. And that's roughly half of the taxable income that America supposedly gets from taxpayers, people who are willing to hand money over to the government through fear and intimidation. So between the military budget and the interest-only payments on the debt, because the military budget is just shy of $1 trillion, and then the interest-only payment, that doesn't leave a whole lot of money for anything else, does it? Yeah, so the rest has to be printed and put onto debt. So they're reaching a point where they can't keep that charade going much longer. And of course, the inflation rate has not gone down. Maybe the rate of increase in inflation has gone down. Yes, that's probably true. But it doesn't mean inflation itself has gone down, not at all. It just means it's not rising as quickly as it was before. And again, that's another indication that they want the current regime in power. So therefore, I think 2024 will be fairly calm. I mean, there's going to be some bumps in the road, but they want to keep things good enough, at least in America, to keep Groper Joe and company or Gavin Newsom in power. And of course, this is only important in terms of people believing in it. You know, we all know that the president doesn't make any decisions of any consequence, because if he does, he ends up dead or in the middle of some kind of horrible scandal. You know, some kind of skeleton comes out of his closet and reveals itself, or, you know, death, which I think is a second option nowadays, because they have to be more subtle. It's too obvious when they just kill people. You know, that was a kind of the 1960s solution to a lot of things, but they have to be more subtle and more, they have to make it look more complicated than that. So disgrace, you know, political problems, personal problems, all those can come up and ruin a career and make someone have to resign if necessary, which effectively is the same thing as killing them, at least in a political sense. So yeah, I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm calling for a fairly calm year, and I'll make more detailed kind of, you know, not predictions, but things that I think are going to happen just based on evidence that I see for the coming year on my Sunday show. This is sort of just a bonus episode because, you know, the network was closed for Christmas. And so I thought I'd just come on and do this little bonus episode here. But yeah, I think 2024, a calm year. 2025, watch out, guys. All bets are off. All bets are off for 2025. And again, what we see happening in Gaza, don't think for a moment they wouldn't bring that same destruction to this country if they felt they needed to. Don't think that for a minute. They certainly would. And they might do something along those lines. It's not off the table, believe me. And of course, you know, the controllers, this cabal, they always have contingency plans. There isn't one written in stone plan. It changes as reality changes. They have to work within the confines of a bigger reality. You know, they're not all powerful in that they can completely control reality. Because we're seeing some serious mistakes being made here, guys. We really are. A huge miscalculation, bigger than I've ever seen before in Israel. And it's partly because, you know, these Israeli Jews, they've gotten so high on their own supply after 9/11 and the other false flags they pulled off. They just figured that we can do whatever we want. They won't know. You know, they really thought that, and that paradigm is coming to an end right now. And I believe it's going to intensify in the following year. So there's no easy way out for this for Israel. There really isn't. And, you know, as far as Trump goes, he's finished. You know, I really think that he is a guy that was in the club, obviously. Look at the charmed life he led. Look how his casinos and his businesses were bailed out two different times by Wilbur Ross and, you know, the Rothschild Bank behind him. And even during COVID, you know, Donald Trump didn't have any of his resorts close or go out of business, even though nobody was staying at them. But I think he's broken some very important rules here. And, you know, there's rules to every club, to every organization, to every secret society. There are rules that cannot be broken. And if you break those rules, you are in trouble. You will be punished. No exceptions. So they're pulling out all the stops to keep this guy from ever becoming president again. Not that I don't think he was ever a good guy. Obviously, his actions prove that to us between the vaccine and going along with this COVID charade for the most part. And of course, if you remember, guys, Donald Trump got COVID 33 days before the election. Yeah, he went to the hospital sick with COVID 33 days before the election. So he was going along with all this stuff. But I do think he broke some rules. I think that he wasn't subservient in every way. And that's a no-no. But again, it doesn't mean that Donald Trump was a good guy or on the side of America. It just means he's out. He's done. And I really don't think he'll even be the nominee. Maybe he will be. But they're putting a lot of roadblocks in place right now, you know, with this ridiculous decision in Colorado to, you know, prevent him from even being on the ballot because he participated in insurrection. He's an insurrectionist, you know. You helped instigate a self-guiding tour by well-intentioned people who were behind the gates and behind the Judas Goat FBI agents who led them to slaughter. You know, a lot of people have had their lives ruined from that whole fiasco. And, you know, Trump could have preemptively pardoned all those people if he wanted to, but he chose not to. Instead, he gave some Jew amnesty and some rapper. That's who he chose to focus on. None of the people that actually were naive enough to show up to the January 6th event. Yeah, but guys, we really are watching a clown show on both sides of the aisle here. And speaking of clown shows, it was pretty funny. I'm sure a lot of you guys heard that in Poland, you know, they're switching governments and there's some liberal government taking over the presidency. And there's some footage from, you know, at their, you know, Congress building. They're having some kind of party and there was a menorah set up at the party. And this one guy, this congressman, grabs a fire extinguisher and puts all the candles out with a fire extinguisher. It was actually pretty funny footage. And, of course, he was kicked out of Congress for doing that. But what's funny is that his reaction, of course, is funny, that someone was willing to do that. But what's interesting is that now the fire extinguisher is a possible anti-Semitic symbol. According to Twitter or X, the use of the fire extinguisher emoji is potentially anti-Semitic. And we have to be mindful of how the meaning of different symbols can change as we say so. So now a fire extinguisher is symbolically anti-Semitic. That's funny. And, you know, as I said on my last show, I was talking about how really when they put up a menorah in a town or somewhere, they're marking that territory. If it's a big one in the town square, they're telling you what they're planning on doing. Hey, we're taking your town. We're going to re-engineer your society and take over your little town financially as well. And clearly this Polish guy, congressman, pretty much saw the same thing happening. And of course, Poland is one of those countries that's almost entirely Catholic. So why there'd be a menorah in their Congress building is a little odd. So yeah, now the fire extinguisher is anti-Semitic. You gotta love that. And it really shows you on a bigger picture this Jewish paranoia that's coming out in full force. You know, it's really, we're seeing this kind of Woody Allen-like, everybody wants to kill us kind of a thing. Oy vey, you know, everybody wants to kill us for no reason. Why the hate? You know, in fact, I was listening to NPR on my drive today, and it was really pretty funny because they had some report from Tulane University where there's quite a bit of anti-Semitic activity going on. And they actually admitted that Tulane is one-third Jewish. And, you know, it's been called Jew-Lane. Still is, apparently. And they interviewed, you know, some of these Jews reacting to the fact that, hey, people actually disagree with you about Palestine and Israel. And they're making their voice heard. They're doing whatever they want to do. And in these people's minds, they interviewed some Jewish kid. And he goes, when I showed up at the festival, it was clear they wanted to kill me. They want all Jews dead. It's so clear they want to kill every Jew in the world. And to come to that conclusion from simply seeing people question the existence of Israel or the validity of Israel or the borders of Israel, somehow that means total genocide on the Jews. And you see really how they take their young people and they program them with all this thinking, these beliefs about things that helps keep the whole Jewish paradigm going, keeping the whole Jewish thing alive through mind control of their own children. Because to come to that conclusion is you're mentally ill, you've been programmed to think something that's not even close to what's actually happening in reality. And of course, this kind of card, this poor Jew card, ain't going to work anymore. Nobody cares. He just looks like an idiot. You know, he wasn't getting any, oh my God, come here, give me a hug, Mr. Jew. You know, nobody cared because he was so far off base. And again, the Jews don't know how to deal with this. This is a new paradigm here for 2024, and it's only going to get worse for them. This loss of being able to read the ether, to be able to read the zeitgeist of people, they no longer can do it. And I was watching something with my girlfriend earlier today, and you know, this ad came on, and this was so tone deaf. And it turns out at the end of the ad, it actually said paid for by the Israeli government. Okay. And this is so pathetic. It's like Santa Claus. They're showing Santa Claus, and he's, you know, looking at all the letters from children, right? And this letter comes from, you know, one of these so-called victims of October 7. Interesting, we have, you know, January 6th, now October 7 is the next big event here. So Santa's reading these letters, and what this letter comes in from October 7, a survivor. And this little child is writing Santa, saying, oh, these horrible people, they broke into our house. And there's these phony childlike drawings that are obviously drawn by an adult, but made to look like a child drew them, you know. And so, oh, they wanted to kill my family. And they showed some guy with a knife stabbing somebody in little stick figures, little childlike stick figures. So he's, you know, Santa reads all these letters, how horrible this is for the Jews in Israel. And then he takes off his glasses and starts crying. Okay, I mean, this is the most disgusting thing. Because first of all, y'all Jews there in Israel, you don't even celebrate Christmas, so what do you care about Santa? It's such an obvious, like, tone-deaf attempt to, okay, we'll reach the goyim with Santa Claus. We'll make a commercial with Santa Claus crying. They won't be able to control themselves, you know. Hey. You know, that's the thinking. And this thing came across so terrible. It was just so awful and so, like, what is this? And it just reeks of, you know, just disgusting propaganda. So that's the depth that they've gone to, and it's failing. There's so many failure attempts at propaganda to try to redirect this narrative, to make it like, see, we have reason to be killing all these people. They're all terrorists. They're all terrible. We have to kill them. So yeah, that was really interesting, seeing that commercial produced by Israel of Santa Claus crying, taking his little round glasses off and crying. God. Unbelievable, guys. We really do live in amazing times. And to see such propaganda fails, I've never seen such terrible propaganda come out by the Jews. I mean, they really are losing their touch. They're losing their hold on the zeitgeist here. And I don't see any easy way that they can return to where they were before October 7 happened. I don't see a way home to the Holy Land for these guys. It's only going to get worse. And as I pointed out on my last show, you know, 153 nations in the United Nations voted to have an immediate ceasefire, and like 10 abstained, and a handful of countries voted, you know, no. And of course, I don't care about the United Nations, but the whole point is that most of the world is like, no, this is not cool. You can't keep doing this. And so here we have our greatest ally really dragging us down further from where we already were in terms of making most of the world see this country in a negative light. And again, if anyone tells you in real life, Israel is our greatest ally, if you ever hear that from somebody, say, oh, really? Okay, well, what have they ever done for this country? What has Israel ever done for America? And they won't have an answer for you other than they're the only democracy in the Middle East, or, it's the Holy Land and we have to protect the Holy Land. Something like that. That's all you're going to get. So I don't think that argument, again, is going to, you know, last much longer either. So much of the old assumptions are really corroding and falling apart at a very rapid rate, too. The rate of change has increased greatly. And, you know, that's going to continue. I don't think there's any stopping that, no matter what they want. So yeah, I think that's enough on all that, and I want to kind of shift gears here from my final segment of this show and go to something, well, it's kind of light, but I think it's also significant in terms of cultural engineering. And, you know, my girlfriend and I kind of have this running joke about Taylor Swift. First of all, about how awful she is. That's in question, guys. Just, you know, the lack of talent, the lack of any real charisma. Yet this woman supposedly, is being built up to be the biggest thing since, you know, Elvis or the Beatles. I mean, we're talking a $1 billion tour or something like that. And, you know, she's worth almost $1 billion now. But what's important is that, first of all, I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't think Taylor Swift is a woman. I'm not one of these, you know, guys that thinks that every woman in Hollywood is a tranny. You know, I think a lot of that is goes too far. But Taylor Swift doesn't look like a woman to me. And my girlfriend doesn't think so either. You know, so... she has large shoulders and basically no hips, no ass, not really built like a woman. And, you know, I've noticed this when you see photographs of other trans women, whatever they are, at certain angles, they look more believable, and at other angles, you can really tell that's a man. And if you look at some pictures of this Taylor Swift creature, you know, she really does look like a man in certain angles. And the other thing that's so amazing is every time I go to the store, there's some new magazine with Taylor Swift on the cover. She was made Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Used to be Man of the Year. I think she'd still qualify for that, actually, but... Time Magazine's Person of the Year. And every time I go to the store, there's another magazine with her face on the cover. There was even some magazine of Taylor Swift does holiday decorations and crafts or something like that. You know, I was like, wow, who could possibly care about that? But the point is this woman, this creature is being pushed upon us like Elvis Presley or the Beatles. Of course, the only difference is that Taylor Swift has no talent. At least the Beatles and Elvis certainly had talent. This creature, this woman, has modest talent. I mean, there's, you know, you could pick 1,000 women that could sing better than her, 10,000 women that could sing better than her and have more charisma than her. So this whole phenomenon is really, the I think, the biggest cultural shaper, at least in the music world, we have going right now. And I'm just amazed at it, how none of it looks organic. And I think this is a man. This is not a woman. I'm going to say it. I said it. Okay? That's my opinion. This creature does not look like a woman. And is completely devoid of talent on top of that. And I think what happened too is they realized, the controllers, the Jews that run the music industry, they realized with the apparatus we have at our fingertips, we don't need someone that really has to have any real talent. In fact, it's easier if they don't. It's easier if we create somebody out of whole cloth and own them in every respect. Because talented people can be difficult. They can be, you know, fairly unwilling to take orders, and they're unpredictable. So why put up with it? Why not just have a completely created, prepackaged product that pushes the agenda we want, you know, pushes the LGBTQ, WTF agenda and all this other stuff, empowering females. And if you look at the lyrics of this woman's songs, there's a lot of occultic references. And I saw some footage of a concert she's doing on her tour. There's this giant, like, snake, like, you know, 30 feet up, you know, raised up with the mouth open, you know, kind of looks like a cobra or something. So this is a powerful tool being used, and it's all of it's completely inorganic. And I think they get off on tricking people into thinking, you know, the most popular woman in the world is a man. I think they get off on tricking people. Kind of like how they told us that Michelle Obama was the most beautiful first lady ever. Yeah, the most elegant and beautiful first lady we've ever had. Big Mike. Yeah, so I just wanted to comment on that because I'm sure you guys have noticed that this creature is everywhere. And, you know, even NPR is constantly running stories about her, you know, her albums, her ticket sales, this and that. And, you know, she's supposedly dating this jerk from the NFL. I forget his name because I don't follow sports. But she's dating this guy from the NFL, supposedly. I think it's a setup. It's a reverse beard operation going on here. And, of course, after they start dating, this guy does all these commercials for Pfizer and the vaccine. And, oh, yeah, he's Mr. Vaccine. And they even had Taylor Swift's face on the homepage of the NFL website for, like, 22 weeks, which was the longest run of any NFL person ever. So it's just amazing the length they're going through to push this entity upon us. And it's like Elvis and the Beatles, but no talent. But the apparatus is in place much better than it was back then. It's much more refined. It's much more powerful. It's much more complete. And I think the other thing that is important about this cultural phenomenon of Taylor Swift is that I think we're seeing sort of a limit being put on art and music and beauty. Like, we don't want to allow any kind of cultural apparatus like music or art that might uplift society too much. And so we're seeing mediocrity, like this creature, being put at the very pinnacle of the industry. So it's like a regulator or a moderator of talent and a cultural influence that could actually influence things in a positive or powerful way, because that's part of the duty or the role of art or music, is to create something that the average person could not have even imagined, and to open their mind up to, like, wow, that's really amazing, and maybe plant a seed in their mind for something in the future. So by controlling that, by making it mediocre, you're helping keeping society put into place, into control. And I think that's very important. So, yeah, I think I'll just end it there. The whole Taylor Swift thing is very interesting, and I'm sure many of you guys out there have noticed or wonder, like, what is going on with this creature? Yeah, so that's enough about Taylor Swift. And I'll just end things here. And thanks for listening, and see you guys on Sunday. Everyone take care. And until Sunday, bye-bye.